All right, welcome to another episode of the Collaborative Warriors Podcast. I'm your host, Jazz Kang. Dub Nation, I know you're feeling pretty good after the beatdown that the Warriors put on the Mavericks, 147-116. We're going to get into all that, plus tomorrow's ABC game going on between the same two teams. Joining me to talk about that today with ESPN, of course, Cassidy Hubarth. Cassidy, how you doing?
I'm great. Had a nice viewing session on the couch last night. That was a fun watch until like the last, a couple minutes where it just became a big blowout.
Well, they just killed them in the second half. And I mean, I think they outscored them, but those 73-40, the Warriors were hitting everything and the Mavs, it was kind of interesting for me watching the game because, I grew up in the 80s and 90s and I'm used to, okay, if you got the size advantage, slow the game down, take advantage, they had Kristaps Porzingis, put him on the block and slow the game down. And so when I was watching that yesterday, and the Mavs are the worst 3-point shooting team in the league percentage wise, and they ended up going 20 of 50 in that game on Thursday. When you're watching that, do you get frustrated at all when you're like, what are you guys doing? Like, come on, you could do better than this.
I mean, my frustration was with the lack of defense. And I think that was what the matter, it was non-existent. It was just Olay all day. But at the same time, the Warriors just couldn't miss. It was fun. And you could see that they were having a good time, especially Kelly Oubre. And maybe that pop of confidence is just what he needs to have, a career high for him. I was sitting there last night and I was talking to my husband. I'm like, Steph Curry is just underappreciated. And he goes, what are you talking about? He's very appreciated. I go, no, he's not appreciated because people continue to talk about his legacy and him proving himself without Kevin Durant. I'm like, okay, so this is a guy who's a two-time MVP, a proven champion. And then every time, he is credited for changing the game. And every time you watch him, it's just fun. I always describe Magic Steph. It's just fun. And you kind of saw that, pretty much across that game last night. Those guys were just having fun. And as far as were they attacking Porzingis? I think Porzingis is still, I don't know what his health status is, but that team has been banged up all season. They've been dealing with COVID situations. They're not whole. This was their third game where they had their full roster. Clearly there's some defensive issues. Last night I was on that post game Zoom and I actually almost fell asleep because I was waiting for the Mavs to come to the podium or whatever, the Zoom. They took forever. It's because they were watching that third quarter back in the locker room and just trying to figure out defensively how they can get better. So I think I just gave you a long answer to, was I frustrated that, the Mavs weren't taking advantage of size? It's kind of hard when you're hitting, shots left and right.
You were mentioning Steph Curry. I mean, I didn't get to play, only played in five games last season, had a couple of injuries, came back now. He's been awesome, throughout the season. And you're seeing teams really key on him. And I've noticed that too from watching every single Warriors game is if they're playing an upper echelon team, they're doing everything. We're seeing box and one, which you never see in the NBA. They're trying to do everything they can to control Steph. And you mentioned Oubre went off for 40 against the Mavs last time out. And I've been watching Oubre throughout the season too. And when he is forcing it, he's been awful. And we've seen him on offense when he's, trying to just take a spot up shot with the defender on him. Yesterday, I found he was waiting for the ball, waiting for the opportunities and picking his spots. When you're watching the Warriors play, what is one thing you look at and think if they can improve that, they can maybe jump up into a top five, top six seed instead of fighting for that, the fringe of the top eight and then to play in at the top 10?
Well, obviously, a lot of it revolves around the play of Oubre and Wiggins. I mean, I think that's just been what is the storyline around this team. Covering them on Christmas Day, it was like we don't have an identity yet, and we know that there's an identity with Steph, and of course Draymond, and James Wiseman to a certain extent. That he's a rookie whose ceiling is very high, and he's mentored by Draymond, but all the question marks are surrounding what you can get out of Oubre and Wiggins. So Consistency, I guess, is the answer. Like, how can they move up in the Western Conference? It's getting consistent performances from those guys and health. I mean, you can't continue to, you know, put out a small lineup with guys, no one over, what was it, 6'7" last night?
Yeah, 6'7".
So, you know, therein lies an easy thing to point out, but obviously that's not going to be, the case all season.
I do have to ask you this, because I've been finding myself wondering it throughout moments during this season, especially, and it's a big what if, and we're never going to get the answer to it, but that's what sports media, a lot of it is about. We like to talk about hypotheticals. Klay Thompson, if he was a part of this team and, mm-hmm. They have the roster as is, I don't think they would have had Oubre. I don't think they would have made that trade. Maybe somebody else, because it did have the trade exception still. Who knows what Phoenix would have done. But if Klay Thompson is on this roster, do you think the Warriors could compete with teams like the Lakers and the Clippers, who are really the two front runners in the Western Conference, and if not in the entire of the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, at the top on paper, yes, absolutely. You know, I was really excited to see Klay and Steph and Draymond well rested, give another go at it with that championship experience that they have. But I think, if you look back at all the Warriors championships, the bench had a big part of, their run. Obviously, Kevin Durant, Steph, Klay, Draymond are the core, heart and soul, basically, like those are the champs. But you can't win a title in the NBA, obviously, without stars, but then without any kind of depth to kind of give those stars some minutes. So that would have been my only concern, to see what the rest of the makeup was. But yeah, I mean, I think people overlook what type of defender Klay Thompson is too. He's, one of the best defenders, I think, in the league. And defense has been a little bit of an issue for this Warriors team this season. So, I don't think it'd be understated what a loss that is, and just like a mental blow to the beginning of how the season started, and just to relieve some of the pressure off of Steph as well. So, yeah, I mean, the what ifs, that list could be really, really long. The Lakers and Clippers look pretty darn good right now, but you can never underestimate, not to sound corny with this cliche, that the heart of a champion, and that's definitely what the Warriors are.
That's a great cliche. Yeah, I was actually waiting to hear that one. I'm messing with you. I do want to ask you this. James Wiseman, he's been out, he's only out for another week, or hopefully another week or so. He's going to be reevaluated in about 4 or 5 days. When you look at his potential, and I love what I've seen from him, especially from the outside shooting, he's not hesitating. If he's catching it on top of the 3-point line and he's ready, he's backing it up. Like, he's not getting scared of that. When you look at his potential, and they're starting to call him the vacuum because he swallows everything up around the rim when they're tossing up alley-oops.
Yeah.
What do you think he's going to be? He has the potential to be an all-star level player. And what do you see his ceiling as ultimately as he continues to develop and grow?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very skilled big man. I mean, that's exactly, what this new NBA is. And, his size, I think, is something that people may not even fully understand, because a lot of media also, haven't been able to be around him. we're all in either the bleachers when we're covering games or on Zooms. From my coverage of the Warriors, it's just, he is so hungry to be good. And he's so focused on just improving and having this, being a complete product, not just as a basketball player, but as a person. And I think, it's great organization to be a part of. He's learning from, obviously we see Draymond, coaching him up on the court. I mean, he gets to see and watch the professionalism of Steph Curry and, see how he handles that stardom. So I think, James is in a really good position to grow, where he doesn't have that type of pressure on him, that a normal, second pick in the draft would have. He's in a really good position. Do I think he can be an all-star? Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, I think his ceiling is really high because his motor's high, his energy level's high. And, you know, you can tell he has the eagerness to kind of correct some of those, you know, rookie mistakes that he has from being just, you know, overly eager at times.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago while you were answering there about being in the arenas without fans. And I got to cover a bunch of the Lakers games last year, right before the pandemic hit. I was, you know, at the Lakers Bucks, Lakers Clippers, and that energy that you feel from the crowd, especially when it's a huge game, like it was, you know, last season for those matchups. When you're looking at it from your position, how has that been for you, just being in the arena? What are you missing the most about, you know, having fans in the building? And how has it been on a personal level in terms of even trying to connect with players and trying to kind of develop stories from that?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's I want to get back to normal, but there's been some pros and cons, obviously, for you know, work-wise. I don't have to like crawl over fans, you know, to get to, you know, doing my interviews or to do my stand-up. So there's that, but I would 10 times out of 10 rather have fans around than the current situation we're in. And there's also some pros to, you know, these press conferences being on Zooms. You know, I being a national sideline reporter, I fly into different cities weekly. And so I'm not on a beat. And so sometimes it's hard for me to get up to date on, you know, what's the ins and outs of certain teams. And normally, you know, teams would hold, you know, pressers and you would have no access to it virtually. And now, like, for instance, I have Mavericks Hawks on Wednesday, and I was able to sit in on the Mavs, you know, pre and post game, as well as the Hawks post game last night, and just kind of get that access. So I wonder how, you know, teams are going to go about doing media access, specifically post game. I wouldn't be surprised if we have this type of Zoom set up for the next couple of years, just to keep people out of those locker rooms. But we'll see. I mean, I think that's something that's really going to be a big discussion among, you know, media partners in the NBA. As far as like the biggest difference in the play, I haven't really noticed it. I mean, I was in the bubble too, which was the first kind of taste of playing without fans, but even that, you know, like having those virtual fans, and I mean, the NBA really, really, you know, did it up in the bubble, and they had things people called sound sweeteners who really kind of like were able to match the momentum of the game. And in some of these arenas, they don't even have pumped in sound. So, you know, I can't imagine what, like, how different it is. You know, just in those kinds of moments where you're going on a run or someone's on a heat check, but from what I've been watching on TV, it feels like there's a lot of fans there because the play has been pretty darn good to start. But I know certainly for some players, like we saw in the bubble, a lot of guys really locked in that you don't think normally would have those type of performances in the playoffs because, you know, playoff basketball is a different beast because of the fans, because of the energy. So it will be interesting to see, you know, if we still don't have fans come playoffs, which, you know, I know some more arenas are opening it up to fans, and, you know, what that's going to do, and especially if it's just limited fans, you know, as we already saw with LeBron in Atlanta, like, you know, what's going to be heard? Because usually, like, you can hear a couple guys here and there, but usually it's a roar of a crowd, you know, that players hear. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we've all had to adjust. And, you know, I think the NBA and a lot of people are figuring it out. And I'm glad that, you know, we're able to still have such high quality games right now.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing I'm looking at too. I'm like, do you remember? I mean, you obviously remember it from March until, you know, the league really started, and it's trivial compared to what's going on across the rest of the world in terms of with the virus and stuff. But I'm just happy to have some sports back. And I was thrilled last year, you know, we could actually sit there and watch something and talk about, because even for me, trying to find stuff to write about over those months, I was scraping for ideas. So I'm glad to see it back. I do have to ask quickly, what was the worst part about being in the bubble for you?
It was the food. Yeah. I mean, that, you know what, the Disney workers did an amazing job, you know, like just being able to provide an environment for us to feel safe and feel taken care of. But, you know, like there wasn't a lot of variety. I mean, they were feeding a lot of people. And so that was the hardest thing, because you could, you know, you kind of just, the schedule was so tight that like you kind of just ate what they gave you. And, you know, I ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Let's put
it down. It's like being back in elementary school, right?
Yeah. I mean, I like interviewed Ben Simmons and I asked him what he thought the worst part. And he said the food too. He goes, there are a couple days I just didn't eat. I go, dang, you didn't eat at all? Like that doesn't seem safe for a professional athlete about to compete. But look, I'm not saying that the food was atrocious. It's just sometimes you like just, you were sick of, you know, some of the meals. So, yeah, I mean, thank God for Amazon. I Amazoned a lot of like food that I could have in my room. That's so, sure.
And you didn't step outside the bubble line, right? We can confirm that.
Oh no, yeah, you can drink it. Yeah, I didn't go pick up some Uber Eats. And can you imagine, like, think about where we were in the stories we dealt with in the bubble, where like guys had to quarantine for 10 days for like stepping over a line to pick up an Uber Eats. And now here we are, like guys, you know, testing positive left and right, and we're gonna have an all-star game. But I guess that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah, the all-star game conversation, we've heard LeBron come out against it. De'Aaron Fox obviously spoke out against it. I don't understand the reasoning behind it, but again, I'm not a billionaire. And so whatever the NBA owners and the league want to do, that's entirely on them. A couple more questions for you before we wrap up. I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. Who are the top five players in the NBA according to Cassidy's rankings?
Oi. Okay, so how you, what, like, what's the criteria here? Like, so far this season, who's been playing the best so far this season?
If you had to pick, or going into, for the rest of the season, you have to rank, like, I'm going to go with these guys to start my team. You're the GM. You have to pick one player, the one through, let's say
that's
five.
That's a whole nother conversation. Because it's just like, that's why this is so difficult. I mean, obviously LeBron, okay? So you put LeBron over there. Wait, am I starting my, like, who am I starting my team with?
Yeah, you got to,
like,
so you got LeBron.
This is the issue with this conversation, you know, like that same issue with like the MVP conversation. There's too many criteria for when you're talking about the best. Why the Jordan and LeBron conversation is, like as annoying as it is, because there's so much criteria. So like, if I just were to rattle off, you know, the top guys, it'd be LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph, Luka, Joel. And I don't think I would have said Joel before this year, but there, I think I named five, right?
You did name five. You did miss. I was going to say you missed out on Kawhi Leonard, which is okay. But I will give you this, that
oh
you mentioned.
God. See, this is the problem. Well, then if I knew Kawhi, then I would. Yeah, here's my issue. I started off this podcast saying that Steph Curry is underappreciated. But like, if I were to take one of those guys out, I guess it would be Luka. But then I think that's recency bias because of how bad the Mavericks have been. It's a really hard, if you were to give me a more distinct criteria, like if it was this season so far, it would be LeBron, Joel, Kawhi.
It's still taking time. That's a tough question.
It's a hard one. The league is in a good place.
The league is in a good place.
Oh, I guess I would have to say, if we're just going on performance, I don't know. It's about to put Bradley Beal in there. And that's just me going off. I can't even do that. Okay.
This is a Warrior.
And then Damian Lillard. We always forget to say Damian Lillard.
Well, that's right. And like I said, this is a Warriors podcast. So the good thing is you mentioned Steph. Otherwise, you would have had people in your mentions trying to call you out for it. So it's a good thing you saved yourself by doing that. Want to wrap up on this. The Super Bowl is coming up.
Yeah,
on Sunday. We got Brady, Mahomes, the Bucks, and the Chiefs. Who do you got in the game?
Okay. I mean, I guess you can call me a hater. Like, I just can't root for Tom Brady to win another championship. It's horrible. Like, I just, yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm torn here, because it's like, if he wins another title, does it define that it was about him? Like, the GOATness wasn't about him and Belichick. It was about really just Brady. Like, who, Julian Edelman said, like, the Patriot way is the Tom Brady way. So yeah, I'm being a hater, but like, I think my only stance on here is I'm not rooting for Tom, my best friend.
Yeah.
Did you have lunch with him yesterday? Another Super Bowl. But at the same time, I'll say what LeBron said last night. I just want to see a good game. I want to see a good halftime performance. I feel like I've seen all the commercials already. What have waiting commercials? I feel like they're rolling out all of the Super Bowl commercials early.
Well, I think basically because what are those there to really do right now to fill people's time? And I think that's a good way to promote it, is just get the word out there. And I think it'll be close to the most watched Super Bowl that we've seen, because I'm sitting here too, and I'm like, 2 weeks ago, when the championship games happened, I was like, I can't wait for the Super Bowl. Whereas normally the 2 weeks, I'll keep myself busy, whatever, and you're yeah. working and whatever. But now I'm like, that's where I'm saying, thank God we have the NBA, because I'm like, weekdays, and you're experiencing it as well, the pandemic, it's brutal. There's no entertainment. But I did like the Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski one. I think it was at T-Mobile. Is that who did it?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that was good.
That was
good one. I mean, that was a good one. I like the Michael B. Jordan one. I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. My husband thought it was funny. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be really watched, because if people are, following the rules, there'll be a lot less Super Bowl parties and more people watching at home. So I think the ratings are going to be, pretty high, they needed any help with ratings.
I'm Canadian, and I will say that I'm confident, based off what I've seen online, whether you're in America or Canada, there are going to be some Super Bowl parties. That's on you. I'm following the rules. I'll be at home. I'll be working. But to those people.
Come on. You had to say it, though. You know what? You had to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
We'll wrap up with
this. Wear masks, people. Wear masks.
Thank you. Thank you. There's your sponsored message by the CDC from Cassidy. But we're going to wrap up there. Just a reminder, Dubs fans, tomorrow at 5:30, that's on Saturday, you can catch the Warriors and Mavericks. Cassidy, you mentioned you're going to be working on a piece that'll air before the game, or you'll be doing your regular segment on there. What can we look out for there on?
I'll actually be hosting hoop streams that leads into the game, that you can watch that on Twitter, YouTube, or the ESPN app. We're going to have Zach Lowe on, Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins, Rachel Nichols from Dallas. And then also our guy, Nick Friedell, who covers the Warriors for us. So it's going to be a packed show. So tune in on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and the ESPN app at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific.
There you go. An all-star cast got you covered for the big one between the Mavs and the Warriors. That does it for this episode. Don't forget, y'all, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and you can also catch our videos on YouTube. That's at Golden State of Mind. And check us out throughout the season. Myself, Brady, Alex Hall will have you covered with everything Dubs related at goldenstateofmind.com. That does it for this episode. We'll catch you all next week. All right, perfect. Thank you for doing